terabytes is for informational and educational purposes only. Nothing on the show is advice, no financial, tax, legal, or any other kind of advice. Nothing we say is an inducement to make a particular investment or follow a particular strategy. Anything you invest is at your own risk. Do your own research and consult with professionals.
Welcome back to Terabytes. This is the longest running, the first Terra podcast with great interviews, with great projects. Today, we've got a project I know so many people out there are excited about. A game, a play-to-earn game, an NFT game, a Terra game. Only the second game that we've had on the show, if I remember correctly. And we've got the whole co-founding team here, Matias, Nico, and Israel from various parts of the world. I know you're all originally from Chile, but now living in various parts of the world. I'll let you quickly introduce where that is and what has brought you to blockchain gaming. So let's kick it off right away with Nico. Where are you in the world? And tell us about a little bit about your game history.
I'm in Thailand now. Thanks for asking. I'm super, super happy to be with you. And well, you asking about my story in games. I started 20 years ago in a local company in Chile, Physic trading card games. From that, in digital was super natural. In this way, I met Israel. He's the brain and the fingers on the keyboard, you know? And we start to design and developing games with each other. And when we saw the opportunity to come to blockchain with a trading card game,
I'm Israel. I'm the technical director of the project, or CTO, if you prefer. I've been developing games for about over 15 years. I like to try new stuff. I like discovered that I could make video games, so I started doing it for fun. And then I realized I could live off it, so I started doing it. Founding a very small studio making flash games. Later, Nico joined me for creating a little bigger project. He was one of my clients, and we decided to partner and create a new company. So since then, we started creating more ambitious games. We have released a couple of them on Steam, on mobile stores, and different platforms, even smart TV, BlackBerry. We have a very, very long story doing stuff, crazy stuff in games. And what excites me about Deviant is because I'm very crypto enthusiast. I'm a lunatic myself. I'm one of the first 10 members of the Spanish Lunatics Telegram group. So I never imagined or thought I would be here joining in an interview with you guys, Terabytes. I'm a big fan of your show since the beginning. And I'm really, really happy to be here. And I'm really happy to be part of this community, the Terra community. We feel so in a community with all of the other projects, all of the guys that join us, that support us, that follow us, asking questions every day. So here we are. Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much. And Matias, a little bit about you, where you are in the world. We heard from Nico and Israel how they met and how they got together. How did you get involved in this trio of co-founders?
Yeah, for sure. Well, thank you guys for having us. We're really excited to be here. I'm currently in California. I met Nico skydiving in Brazil. We're both skydivers as a hobby. That's how we met and how we started engaging with each other. He was pretty innovative himself, you know, before even COVID hit. Years before that, he was already working remotely, living the dream, you know, and it was pretty impressive to me. We stayed in touch, and then, you know, I've been working in technology for years, mainly on fintech and insurtech startups on the business side. And when the guys got together and saw this opportunity, they called me up, and then, yeah, the rest is history. Here we are.
Oh, so it sounds like you guys have the trifecta of technology, fintech, gaming, and, well, that's not even a trifecta, it's a quadrifecta, if that's even a word, because you got the crypto as well.
Well, it's funny that you mention a quadrifecta, because there's a fourth team member here on the call too.
Wait, there's a fourth team member? I only see three.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
No. I this is the first announcement. I think only the people on this call know so far.
I'm going to be joining Deviant's factions too. It doesn't mean I'm leaving Terabytes or this is my final episode. It's not a farewell. We're not going to play.
It's final episode of Terabytes.
you're gonna start a Twitter Spaces with that title, aren't you? Just to get people to join. I've been watching Deviant's from early on, and I've loved the project. And I've always wanted to return to gaming. I've been into video games. That was basically what I did before you and I met, Evan, is I worked on the writing side, technical writing, but also like story writing and editing and things like that for games. Many games you haven't heard of, but some games that you have heard of, for like EA games and Ubisoft and some others. I was my own studio and contractor, but left some Easter eggs here and there. And also been into board games. You remember the early episodes? I've got board games and RPG books in the background. We've got an RPG that we're starting on this channel that, again, I guess nobody knows about publicly yet. So there's announcement number two. I just fell right in love with the art and the story and the mechanics and some of the mechanics that we'll talk about today. I really like this project and I really want to be involved with it. And so, I've been talking with the guys here for a long time. I am going to have to learn Spanish, but that's exciting. That's a plus. That's an extra perk. I'm really thrilled to join this. I'll still be on Terabytes, and we're going to try to, we're going to keep this unbiased still on Terabytes. Full disclosure to everyone watching, obviously I like this project. I'm joining the team.
And the follow-up announcement, we're changing the name of the YouTube channel to Deviant Bites. We'll be totally unbiased.
I have no problem. No problem with that.
Yeah.
So let me ask then, since it seems like I'm the only interviewer here, we've got four interviewees. I've seen the artwork for Deviants. I think the first one I saw was of Pete, which was fantastic. There's some like different stats and attributes of Pete on the card, but like, I'm curious, what's the overall theme of the game? How is it played? How can you win? How can you lose? What do we have to look forward to on that side?
Yeah, I'll start with the story, and then the guys can jump in on the game mechanics a little more. But the game is based on an immersed universe where there are four factions fighting a war that's built to humanity. In the game, right now we sold actually the starter packs where players will mint their 8 NFT cards, so players will mint their decks. We'll build decks to fight for a faction in this war. So that's a little bit of what you saw on Pete's car.
The mechanics are very simple. It's like chess, simple rules, simple cards, but a very big potential to improve your skills and become a master,
We are designing this game so to minimize the in-game decisions, to make it easy to start playing, you only have to decide which of your three cards we just play each turn. But you have a way longer decision time when you are building your deck. You have to create synergies. Cards will interact between them. You will try to overcome future possible strategies of your opponent and try to optimize your play. Try again, refine it. So we really expect that you have fun, not only playing the game, but only building your deck and your own strategy.
And so how much of the game is based on skill versus how much of the game is based on collecting the best cards out there? Can somebody with no skill potentially just spend a ton of money and have an epic deck and like beat everybody? Or do people that maybe don't have as many funds still have a chance to compete?
Well, we designed the game to get the lowest entry barriers in the market. Short deck is one of them. Any single cards will be an NFT. We choose Terra ecosystem, and what's the main or most important variable in Terra ecosystem? UST, and a stable coin. And we will still selling our NFT booster packs in UST. in this way, the price going be super accessible.
And Evan, also it's part of what we're doing now. And why are we taking the time to release the game? And we can refer to the roadmap to have more details on that. It's because we're balancing the game, so we're making sure there is not like a dream team of cards that whichever amount of money that you can buy for them, and then you know be beating everybody on your strategy. In that sense, we're actively working to have the first card universe as a very balanced game for everybody to have similar chances of building a great strategy. And it's a never-ending process. We will keep on balancing, you know, the game and the next extensions of cards in order for the game to be balanced, and also with the strategy to have low entry barriers for the game to be accessible for different types of players.
Probably the collection value is going to be higher if we are talking about more rare cards, you know. It's going to be different in strategy. Of course, you're going to can choose a different rarity to build your deck, but I'm pretty sure that you will want to use non-rare cards and your strategy will be successful.
Yeah, and just another thing to add in here, Evan, before we move on. The game is played also in turns. So even though you may have like the same deck and play it in time, every game may be different. It depends on your decisions and what your opponent is also doing. This way we can also work on that.
Yep, and the cards will not always be only upsides and strengths. The cards will have downsides. So you can expect the most strategic cards, the most spicy and fun cards, to have some downside, something that you have to overcome to get a good reward by playing it in a deck. So if you just go and buy any random expensive card, probably it won't work in any deck. You have to build around it to get a good strategy.
So there might be some aspect of people that are collecting the cards just based on rarity, like a simple NFT collection. But then there's also the people that are more interested in the mechanics of the cards themselves so that they can try and win the games, correct?
Exactly.
Yep, cool. Correct. And just to add a little more point there, and we will try to reward all of them. Yeah.
Cool. Now I saw Pete, you brought up the card itself. I don't know if you had a follow up.
Well, no, I'm going to dive into, if you want to share really quick, I'm going to dive into the game mechanics just a little bit more using this light paper here. The light paper is available at this, it's posted on the Deviant's Twitter, the latest light papers. It's on IPFS, and there's these four factions, but you know, you're not locked into them. You can play. It's not like you know, you have to choose your faction forever, like a Niantic game or something. It's there's Awaken, Entropy, and Inhuman, and the one I always forget, Owners. Yeah, they all have different ideals. And if you've played a game like Magic: The Gathering, where you're used to like red, white, black, blue, green, and you're used to like having these ideals. Where red wants freedom and black is ruthless and wants progress and blue wants like self-improvement and white wants order and peace and green wants like harmony and growth and stuff. And all the cards work towards that, but they also sometimes find alliances or common enemies and stuff. Well, you've got the same kind of multi-mechanic here where you've got these factions. Awaken believes that everyone needs to be awakened to the truth. Entropy just worships basically the law of entropy, like break the wheel kind of stuff. Inhuman says we're better than all the undeviants. We're better than all those who are like the regular humans. And owners just they want to shape the world and direct everything. Almost Illuminati-ish, but maybe, you know, I don't want to draw too strong a parallel there. But so you can pick these factions that have these the different ideals and affects the mechanics and so on. To build your deck. And, you know, just like in Magic, they have the factions and the cards in them and the various mechanics in them have pros and situations where they really shine, but they also have cons. So it'll be a constant as new cards are released. There'll be a constant kind of outside of game where you're trying to put your decks together and you're reacting. You're playing a game, you lose maybe, you realize that there's a weakness you have or a certain enemy strength that you haven't considered. So you adjust your deck a little bit. You have alternate decks that you play and you A/B test, you know, and so it's going to be a trading card game, much like putting together Magic decks and so on. But it's so iterative because there's these 8-card decks and 3-card hands, and the games don't last forever. It's hard sometimes to play a 60-card deck or a commander deck and figure out what happened, because it was, you know, how you lose is very complex. And here there's complexity, but it'll be a little bit more clear what happens because there's these shorter games. But moving, just if you want to read more about the mechanics, you can go to the light paper. I understand also there's a gameplay video coming out sometime this week. So definitely excited about that. But this is why I will put one of the cards up, to just show you what the what kind of information's on the card and the kind of things you'd expect from a trading card game. There's an attack and a health, and then some kind of special ability here as well. And that's how they all interact together.
So if I can jump in here with a question, do you have to have like your entire deck? Say I choose to be, you know, the owner's faction. Does my entire deck then have to be cards from the owner's faction, or can I mix and match? How does that work?
You can mix and match.
I believe you can mix and match.
You can do any combination of them. There's just one rule, there's one type of card, which is the technologies. Technologies enhance your character. You will see in the gameplay video, it will be better explained, I promise. But if you are, an entropy character, you can't use owner technologies. You have to use undeviant technologies or technologies from your own faction. That's the only restriction. But inside of the game, you can build with any combination of unique cards. They have to be unique because they are characters. You don't see two Pits yet around. So we have created that for lore and strategy purposes. You cannot repeat the same card in the same deck.
Until we have Pete, and then we have Cyborg Pete, or Pete's clone, which I'm sure is coming down the pipe soon.
I don't want to spoil too much of that, probably.
Yeah. I don't want to spoil too much. Do you guys? I'm assuming you guys have played Commander Magic.
Yeah,
I do.
Well, it's
I do.
Kind of like unique, unique.
Yeah, you have to choose one of a kind. You know? Yeah.
Right. Yeah. You have to have unique cards. And also similar to Magic and other cards, you mentioned undeviant. So if you're in Magic, you're used to there being cards, usually artifacts, but other things too, that don't have an assignment and anyone can use them. So there are cards that don't belong to any of the parties, any of the four factions. And of course, they don't have the pros and cons of the factions, but they could work in a deck, right? You can use undeviant tech in order to to build your deck. Very cool. Now, you mentioned using UST. I think that the mechanics, we could talk about the mechanics for a long time, but what I should really do is ask viewers to wait till just a little bit later this week when the gameplay demo drops. Again, it's 8-card deck versus 8-card deck, so it's a rather short experience compared to like a game that can slog on forever. Once the headquarters is down, the end of the game. Actually, that's a curious question. You guys are playtesting the game. I haven't gotten in on that yet. What is the longest a game typically goes in, like, time?
Yeah, well, I think the average will be between 4 and 5 minutes. You know, it's going to be quick. That's the idea. You know, it's a play-to-earn game. You want to play too many matches and earn more. You're going to earn money even if you lose or win in this way. The idea is to be simple, to be not quick only. It's going to be fun.
So speaking about winning, there is in the light paper a dev tokenomics for the dev token, kind of a flow chart where you play competitive matches to earn UST. We're going to hear a little bit more about that in a second. And you can play dev matches to earn dev whether you win or lose. Excuse me. To buy special items or vanity items, to craft new cards, to participate in governance, to stack a multi-use token here. But interesting is that there are competitive matches where you earn UST. So a video dropped about using UST that I think we should watch before we chat about using Anchor in Deviants Factions.
Hello, Deviants. We're thrilled for the success of our mint process last week. So first things first, thank you. And we mean it. Now, we want to share with all of you details on our strategy to achieve two key aspects for a healthy play-to-earn trading card gaming ecosystem: a wide player base and a profitable dynamic for them. We want to reward you in UST. So, on Wednesday, December 1st, we will be selling 25,000 starter packs at 250 UST each, and giving most of it back to the community. 80% of the sale will be destined to ignite the Deviants Factions community tournament pool. 5 million UST will be allocated in Anchor Protocol as a long-term investment. 30% of the yield generated by Anchor will be kept in an ever-growing profit flow for our player base, while 60% will become an influx of UST to the game's ecosystem through tournament prizes. To you, the players. Plus, we'll give you 90% of our royalties from the secondary market. In the first month of organized play, we'll be celebrating with all accumulated interests. When the time comes, players will be able to enter tournaments with DEV, which we'll later put back into circulation. Every participant in a tournament will receive some UST reward. We want to enable a growing prize pool as no other play-to-earn esport has designed, while also guarding the DEV token from volatility and helping in the collective venture of increasing UST demand in the wider Terra ecosystem. Join Deviants Faction's second minting process to fuel your community tournament pool in Anchor Protocol, the first step for everything that's to come.
Very cool. So you obviously did your initial mint. But in this video, you're talking about an additional mint that you're going to do now to help fund these tournament pools. The first question I have is there a difference between the decks that people are going to be able to get in this second mint from what they were able to get in the first mint?
There's no difference. And this is the last time that you will be able to mint a starter pack. These are the last ever being starter packs of Deviant Factions.
Yeah, the first mint was, let me show this Nowhere Art page here. The first mint was on nowhere.art. And you know what? There was a little bit of a false start where the first day where it was supposed to happen, it didn't happen because of something on the Nowhere Art website. But I feel like now I'm part of the team. I'm kind of congratulating myself, but I wasn't part of the team then. It was a really smooth mint. I don't, Evan, you participated. I participated. And it didn't, it sold out, which of course, you know, you always want there to be enough demand for things to sell out, right? People are interested in the game, but it didn't sell out in like three blocks or anything like that. And you could still go and to Nowhere Art. And this is about the price that the next mint will be at later in a couple of weeks when it drops at 5 Luna. So the floor price right now is 5 Luna for these Deviants booster packs. You don't know what's in them yet, but you can go buy them at Nowhere Art if you're interested. There's only a few available for 5 right now. Anyway, yeah, very smooth first mint where everyone who really wanted some and didn't like fall asleep for a whole hour, you know, got some. It was a great experience. So the second mint is specifically to fuel these anger pools. And I think this is really interesting. The numbers that we've got on these pools. So with the raise being like 5 million UST into Anchor, the monthly potential tournament pools prizes will be greater than like the yearly Magic the Gathering prize pools that are for exactly. Yearly Magic the Gathering.
We're going to go over MTG and other games. We want to go over them. We want to steal the players.
We want the game not only to be a fun, awesome game to play, But we designed this to reward, you know, our players and the players that participate in tournaments. And like Isra said, we're very ambitious. We want this game to be very big and we want to reward everybody that takes part of it.
So you had mentioned that people who are in the tournament, whether they win the tournament or even if they just join the tournament, they're going to get rewarded some UST. You also mentioned that players that win a match earn UST, I would imagine, more than players who lose a match, but you still earn if you earn UST if you lose a match. Can you explain the prizes?
Of course. What we're building here is not only a fun, awesome game. Like I said before, we are also building a financial instrument disguised as a fun, awesome game. So by taking part of the game, you will earn tokens. You will earn our native token called DEV. Either if you win or you lose, exactly. And if you stack, then you will increase the tiers of reward by participating in the game. And with that token, in order for you to capitalize on that token, we created the strategy to give out USTs for participating on tournaments. Instead of people needing to leave the game and sell their assets, you know, they can keep on participating, joining the tournaments, which will have an entry fee. We will start from free roll tournaments, you know, going up in the buy-in. And then for those participating, everybody will get rewarded in UST. And of course, if you take a higher place in that tournament, then you will even get rewarded more.
So that's the answer, I think, to the economic question that maybe you had in the back of your mind, Evan, like, why wouldn't people just join all the tournaments and get free money? Well, there's an entry fee that's paid in DEV. Everyone watching, for links to the Nowhere Art, where you can now buy packs, or and where the mint will happen December 1st, and the next mint coming up December 1st, and for links to the white paper, the latest version of the white paper, the Twitter, everything Deviants related, you can check out. There's also a YouTube with videos that introduce some Deviants things. You can go ahead and check out the links in the description down below. I do want to point out something that I think is interesting here that we've talked about before. A lot of projects, a lot of games since forever ago have had this kind of weird balance, even before the freemium revolution. Where in-app purchase revolution, right? You know, you're taking that and you're kind of fixing it in a way, because it used to be you had to either pay money to get ahead or put time in to get ahead. Whereas with Deviants, it's more like it encourages these explicit partnerships that were forbidden in earlier games. And this is a bit rambly, but bear with me. In earlier games, like say EverQuest, there would be people who would mine gold in EverQuest accounts in like South Korea or something. And I'm not just naming South Korea. It was a big thing in South Korea. Mine lots of gold into accounts and then sell the accounts, right? Or get hired by someone to mine lots of gold into their accounts. And everyone traded Fortnite accounts, and everyone traded Warcraft gold, and everyone traded, Team Fortress items, which was actually legal, maybe. But a lot of these things were against terms of service. They didn't want you to do this. But still, this economy emerged where people with money kind of paid for accounts that were built by people with time. And you either had money or time in order to participate. And Deviants is taking that and like bringing it to the next level, where you can have a person who, an account that has a lot of money and affords, like gets some really good cards, and then kind of partners with someone with skill and time to use those cards. So you got somebody in, it could be in Indonesia, they could be in Kiev, they could be in Nigeria, they could be in Chicago, someone who doesn't really have any resources, but has the skills or the gumption or the time to play games and improve. And then you've got somebody who's into the game who doesn't really have time, but has resources. And these two people can partner up and kind of like a sponsor, a sponsorship or benefactor relationship like back in the day, for the benefit of both of them. I think when you guys first pitched this concept to me, I loved it. I mean, that kind of thing happens already kind of behind the scenes, but if you're found out, then your account's shut down because of terms of service, and it's all kind of shadowy but here we can actually make it a part of the system where an account has the rights to use cards or rent cards from another deck and get started on their own by helping a person with more means, like actually play the game. Is that clear as mud, Evan? I hit a lot of concepts there, but it's an interesting possible future for Deviants that we've talked about.
Yeah, well, I think what you're talking about is almost like a meta economy, right? Like inside the game, an economy inside the game where people can, where it once was forbidden, but you know, obviously you mentioned people did it anyway. There's a whole new like layer of game theory where people can now start to use, you know, the skills or the resources of others and sort of team up and build their decks or whatever. So I'm glad to hear that you guys are anticipating that and not anticipating that, but actually embracing that. And we'll see. I'm sure there's going to be someone out there that's going to figure out a way to try and game it and harder than everybody else and give themselves an unfair advantage.
I used to do that podcast on dystopias, and I mean, it started as a philosophy podcast, but since I'm a Westerner and it was a podcast, it turned into dystopia stories, obviously. But I've thought about that too, like a future where Deviants is super successful and there's like rich card holders that like, if you lose a game, they're going to come and break your kneecaps. thankfully with blockchain, with I don't want to overuse the word blockchain here, but thankfully we can figure out like pseudonymous systems where it used to be like you would give out an account and then it could be easily stolen from you and you couldn't even appeal to the authorities because what you're doing was against the terms of service, you know? You just had reputation to go on. Maybe you knew the person and you know that you would take action against them, if something like that. But here we can build it in such a way where you can participate in this economy without fear of being cheated, because the system is actually ensuring that the terms of rental or the terms of play are being enforced and that the cards are still yours and that whatever arrangement you've come to is, yeah, there's all kinds of exciting potentials that I think avoid that, break your kneecaps if you lose kind of scenario in the future by keeping the relationship anonymous and trustless. So you still are comfortable having that relationship and you know in the end you still end up with your cards, end up with your money, whatever.
That could be Deviant's tagline there. Play Deviant's faction, you won't get your kneecaps broken.
Well, I want to add something to this. Obviously, we will build a guild system where you can lend your decks or cards to guild members. You can do your own scholars and you can rent your cards. This is part of the roadmap. But before that, we are developing an artificial intelligence that will play for you. So if you don't have time, but you have a tech, you can leave your deck playing for you. And you can just go to sleep and come back in the morning and see how well did the AI play your cards.
That's wow. So an offline. Wow. That is cool. Here's the roadmap for some key milestones for the next year. I don't know if you guys have any updates here, but the autoplay you mentioned isn't on here, but guilds are mentioned here with events, crafting, leveling, skins, lands, custom development. Oh, I guess right here, async P2E, right? NFT renting. Like, look at all the stuff here that we haven't even talked about yet. Just exciting stuff in the roadmap. And again, the first mint, the second mint is coming up December 1st. And then tell us a little bit about the dev token.
Well, without going too deep into the utility, we already discussed it. Just back a little bit the point here. We designed the token to take an important role in this game and for it to have different types of utilities that will allow the token to capitalize on time by the use you can do with it. We are a very, very community centric and focused project, and we want to allow and to be working with, you know, our player base and them to take a part in the decisions of the game, and they can do so by stacking the game and participating in governance decisions. We will have more information on that soon enough, but we're thinking about, you know, asking the community about, you know, different cards and on the next sets, where what faction should they belong to, and well, different, you know, in-game utilities, card crafting and leveling is also a big thing that we can talk about that will allow more dynamics to get into the game. With that, we can also provide utility to different NFT assets, you know, that don't need to be a part of our game, and we can work with different projects into onboarding them and to have an in-game use, if that makes sense. And well, there is just so much more that we can do with that. Since we saw the roadmap, there are events coming up, you know, organized games and guilds and scholarships and all of that. You spoke about them, and we have given examples of them, you know, as separate islands, but then they actually do interact in the game. So there are guild words, you know, as an organized event. And well, there is just so much more that we can talk about. I don't know, Nico or Isra, if you want to jump here and give a little bit more details on what you're thinking on this also.
Yeah, well, I think that the best of all is our tokenomics, our economy, or the economy of the game. It's game design, you know. We designed that game as a finance application, you know. We understand that people want to earn money when they become in the blockchain world, and we understand that, and that's the reason why we said, as Matthias said, we are focused 100% in our community. And when I say our community, is the Terra ecosystem in general, and probably more than that. We want to prove this hypothesis, you know, this kind of way to make money with probably the best community ever. And when we are ready, the idea is open the gates to the mainstream, and every single lunatic received with open arms to the normies, to a new era of earning money in general, not just token or cryptocurrencies, because here we have UST. The prices will be in UST. That's dollars, you know, that's American dollars. And it's easy to learn, it's easy to understand for everybody, not only blockchain experts, you know.
We feel that the greatest project that we can be is by not being an island, but by interacting with everything that Terra has to offer, all the other projects and protocols and everything that it's out there and will, you know, be out there. There are a lot of things being developed there, and we want to take, you know, part of that, align with other protocols and give our users, you know, our community, the best project with, you know, a lot of utilities and functionalities and leverage of everything that Terra has to offer and will offer here status. And just to talk about a little bit about on the sale of the token that's coming up, Pete, and to answer that question that you had before, we will be providing more information in time, but we plan to use, you know, the launch pads that are available on Terra today. The only thing that I would like to highlight a little bit on that is that we're thinking on a way to reward our early supporters, the people that minted, you know, on the first sale and hold their tokens, and also the people that and the players that will buy on December 1st on the more booster packs and hold them. We want to reward them and give them some type of exclusive access to our public token launch. And there will be more information on that. And also, we want to reward wallets with good behavior in different protocols, you know. Wallets that have been voting in governance and have been, you know, holding their tokens for different types of protocols, that have maybe no relation with us so far, but we do want to encourage and reward the good behavior in Terra. So yeah, we'll be providing a little bit more information on that, but we will try to give them some type of exclusive access into our public cell.
So much to say here, Evan, really quick before our next question. The first is that already, like you guys said, you want to integrate with a bunch of Terra. We want to integrate with the Terra ecosystem in general. Well, already on Pylon Gateway, there's an NFT lossless yield redirection pool where you can participate in a chance to get a Deviance pack there. And then I was curious that you said that you want to provide chances to wallets that have a good score. Are you guys aware of this Flipside Science dashboard?
Yeah. There is another message that I wanted to send, but we are aware of that. We are working closely with the Flipside team. They're a pretty cool team, and we've been working with them for a little bit. And I'd like to take a second here to just thank them for all the help. And yeah, we have that, and that's how we are planning on getting the information. And we still need to define, you know, a few filters that we'll do in order to define the wallets that will whitelist somehow, but yes.
I was scared when I first saw it, and I looked at the categories and went, oh no, I'm going to get blacklisted out of airdrops. And I got a 29. I got a 29 out of 30, nice. Which I think is pretty good.
Like, it is pretty good.
So I like look at the one, because they kind of refresh over time. So I look at the one that I didn't get and see, like, calculate what I had to do to get it. I definitely picked up some packs, though. I know Evan has personally committed to buying at least 1,000 packs in the second mint.
Actually, I'm upping it to 10,000.
10,000.
If you allow me, before we get into the
sure.
Tokenomics, since we're already talking on the second mint, just to add a little bit of information here, we will gamify the second mint. So we will be rewarding, you know, the guys that buys first and who buys most, and we will also be rewarding those who buy right in the middle, and then at last we will be rewarding the first, second, and third place of, you know, who buys the most packs, and we will be, you know, having like lottery amongst all buyers. We want it to be fun, you know, and all of those funds, and most of them will go into Anchor. For, we already talked about this, it goes back to the community, but we'll make it fun. And then this is where Flipside Crypto also jumps in, because we will be working with them, placing a bounty for the community to give out, you know, the winners, and whoever takes place in that bounty and wins it will also get starter packs as a gift from Deviance faction. So
we didn't mention that a starter pack is enough to play.
Yes,
a starter pack, one starter pack. If you're looking at this going, man, I'm going to have to get so many starter packs, like you're used to Magic booster packs where you got to get at least four and then it's not a workable deck anyway. No, a starter pack is enough to play. You can play, earn, and then like refine your cards from there. So great moves on barrier to entry, I think, is that you just with one starter pack, you've got enough to come in.
Can you actually, is Pete's character actually in the game, or was that just like a marketing thing?
In the beginning, this was just a marketing thing. It may have a game utility in the future.
Nice. Yeah,
thank you for asking this. We haven't talked about it yet, but the card universe for the first release is 164 cards. They are all are already uploaded into the website, collection.dfaction.com. There you can see them. Those are the cards that will be on the release of the game. We'll be releasing, you know, more expansions later on, and there will be more cards, and that's maybe when it's time for Pete's card to jump in and have also a game utility. But as of now, in the beginning, those are the cards that will be taking part of the card universe at this stage. There's so much we can talk about. We have lots of ideas in terms of custom develop. This is just a little part, like in the end of the roadmap that just we place there. But yeah, just stay tuned, because there will be so many more things coming and so many surprises. Yeah.
But if you want to learn more about the game world, see more art, if you're a reader, which I am, then like you like to just read things and not watch videos of talking heads, then the Deviant Faction Medium has all this lore. It's also the place for like announcements to follow on Mint and get more information, but and even video drops. But there's lore bits about each of the factions, and sometimes it talks about like certain mechanics and so on. That's a great place to follow as well.
We are preparing a whole new website that will have all the booster opening, all the features, news, everything about the game. It will be a way bigger website. But for now, you can go to collection.deviantsfactions.com.
I sent it to you internally. There you go.
Here we are, yeah. So if you go to collectionsdeviantsfactions.com, then here is, like, it just shows you all of the cards that are dropping. Some are headquarters cards. You can identify the faction by the color or the symbol up in the top left. So colorblind friendly game. Thanks. It's a good, I'm not colorblind, but I have friends that are, and they just can't play some games. And then all the characters. I'm going to scroll down and see if we can find some. Are there any Undeviants cards in these drops?
Yes, they are.
Oh, right here. Yeah, these gray cards can be used by any faction. You can see the health and attack that's on. It looks like every single one of them is 23 and 102. So I guess those haven't been finalized yet. Yeah.
Yeah. That's actually what the work we're doing
here. We want to release a balanced game for sure.
And what are these larger, almost square form factor cards? They're not characters. They're characters, but they're like,
Those are technologies.
Like the helper technologies. Okay. So, and now the tech.
The headquarters, the characters, mm-hmm. and they're the technologies.
So is your 8-card deck, you have to decide how many characters you want and how many technologies you want. And then there's a headquarters card as part of that 8.
The headquarters doesn't count in the 8.
All right. The headquarters doesn't count in the 8, but technologies do.
Yes.
So you kind of have to decide, can you play 8 characters or 1 character and 7 technologies or anything in between?
Just like that.
Yeah. Okay. So you have to not only decide your balance, but also, like, are you majoring on 1 character that is your single, like, line of defense and he gets everything you got? Or, like, do you have a bunch of characters? And okay. So that's pretty cool. Yeah. So go ahead to over to collections.deviants.com. You can see all the things, obviously all these say user heals 20. So the final balancing isn't out. So the final text isn't out, but you can see all the art and things that will drop to you in the Deviants packs. Yeah. Very cool. So characters will get technologies. Can a character hold multiple technologies at the same time, or no, they have to switch?
Just one.
They can just one at a time. Right. But they can only use one at a time. Yeah, I get it. Okay, very cool. So I'm going to close out of the collections tab because we've been running long, and I want to talk really quickly about one final thing. Let's quickly hit this, and then I'll throw it over to Evan for anything else. The token supply, transparent here. There's seed percentage, private percentage, strategic partners. By the way, as I did say in a tweet, that the only thing I'd ever received from Deviants was that cool card art. That's still true. I haven't actually started there yet. So this is still an unsponsored episode. You've already completed some of these stages. Here's the public sale here of 10%. But I do want to point out that, like, look at these cliffs. The cliffs are large. Like, there's a 12-month cliff. I'm sorry, I said the cliffs. The vesting periods are long. There's a 12-month cliff, but advisors' tokens don't vest until 4 years out, and team tokens don't vest until 4.5 years out. And then these reserve tokens, which are like just in case something goes wrong, they release over time as well, right? So huge timelines here. The game emissions are also 5 years. Now it's supposed to, the model's supposed to switch fully to this anchor, like, economy driven model where there are no more emissions needed, right? But over that time, and there's a roadmap to do that. But this is what it looks like. Evan, any questions?
A little comment before we get to that, Evan. like Bit was describing in the tokenomic numbers, we're going for the long vision here. We're a long vision project, and that's how we wanted to structure this. We're engaging with different partners, and we ask them to support our long vision term with their, you know, investment conditions and supporting conditions, and everybody's been pretty cool on that. And just wanted to say that. And in terms of the openings of the card, well, there you can see what Pete is showing, you know, who's been backing us and who's been advising us also. We've been working with a lot of, you know, cool teams and iconic members of the Terra ecosystem, and there is no words that describe, you know, how thankful we are with them for them to support our project and how fun it's been to be working with them. And in terms of the card opening event and what we're thinking, well, we like Nico has said in a few times already, we're still balancing the game. We're taking our time because we want to make sure that it's well balanced and awesome and fun to play and fair, you know, in terms of strategy and deck building for all of our players that can join with low entry barriers. We think we will have all of that work done by February. It's Q1 next year, but we're aiming to do it in February and hopefully be able to open the starter packs, mint your cards, get a ready to play deck, and if you don't mind me saying this, guys, but we want to try to have a way for the cards to be used right away. I don't know how much I can say on that, but we're working.
We are working in an alpha version. We get that a lot. That's the question a lot. Mm-hmm. When an alpha, when a beta version? We are working on an alpha version. In the idea is that after you open your cards, you will be able to use them. Okay, the game we will launch in Q2, but in Q1, we will release a way that you can start playing with your cards, even if there's still no tournaments, no crypto rewards, but you will be able to go with your cards, and only people that got the cards can go to the alpha and the beta. So we need you to test the system, to stress it, and so we can polish it for the actual launch that will be going Q2. And we need as much players testing before as we can.
Yeah, balance is important and is difficult. I don't know how many viewers have done this, but I used to be part of like playtest groups for early board games and things like that. And it's still like Wizards of the Coast. Magic by this point has become this unmaintainable list of rules about the stack and everything because of the way it was built. But every time they put a huge amount of resources into balancing Magic decks, and still every cycle they have to ban cards from tournaments, or they have to restrict cards so you can only have one in a deck rather than the usual four and things like that. So it can definitely be a lot of work. It sounds like the mechanics of Deviants lends itself to balancing to be easier though, because it's fewer cards, fewer card decks, like maybe clearer mechanics than some of the things in Magic. So we're definitely looking forward to a balanced game. I'm talking as Terabytes again. We're definitely going to try to bring the most balanced game possible. There's me talking as Deviants. And thank you so much for giving us so much of your time here.
Anything else that you guys want to cover, feel free.
Well, yeah, we're really excited that Pete's joined the team. We've been talking about this internally with him for a little bit. And now, you know, the day has come when everybody knows about it and we can express our happiness, and we're very anxious for him to get to work with us and to deliver to all of you guys, you know, a great game and a great way to have fun and hopefully make lots of earnings as well, and just to invite you guys to participate, to take part on our project, to get your booster pack, your starter pack, I'm sorry, the ready to play deck. We will try to find ways to to reward our early supporters, you know, in, you know, giving them exclusive access to buy, you know, early tokens and stuff like that. We still need to structure it a little better, but we want to reward you guys that have been supporting us from the beginning. The mint is on December 1st. We'll be providing more information. Follow our Twitter account. It's DeviantsNFT. And stay tuned for more news.
Right. So I like this. A lot of recent projects have done play to earn, but this is a whole new chapter on play to earn with this the tournament pools, the anchor driven tournament pools, getting paid in UST, not getting paid in the native token, which might not be his right. You do get paid in the native token, but also having these UST pools, which people find attractive because it means they're not just dumping the token, right? And adding all this massive selling pressure. And also just these funding pools. It's a whole new chapter in play to earn when you're mixing it with Anchor like this. So I really like that mechanic. It's also a like some projects recently have been doing this idea of the token raise, the token sale more like directly funds the project, if I can put it that way. Kind of how like the Levana Meteors, the sale went to fund the initial pool for the Luna 2X token and the Apollo farming, you know, that a lot of the sales going to fund the war chest pools and so on. And so this token sale is the bulk of it, most of it is going to the anchor deposits for perpetual tournament rewards for Deviant Schemes. So whether you're a potential investor or a player or just a sci-fi nut or you love dystopias like I do, anything like that, this is, I think, a really exciting game for you to keep an eye on. And the second mint coming up is on December 1st. That is in just a little, when this drops, it'll just be a little bit over a week. By the way, quickly about that NFT drop, is there a whitelist for the second drop or not? I know the first one had a whitelist. You could get 3 packs, but then there were still more left, so you could get as many as you wanted.
There is not a whitelist process for the second mint. So the only thing that they need to prepare of is their wallets, fill them with USTs and get the booster packs help us, you know, create this anchor pool that will eventually go all back to you guys. Any more details, we will be releasing them shortly. There is not very any specific info or action they can do. They will just be able to go and buy them.
All right. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Nico. Thanks, Israel. Thanks, Matthias, for coming on and joining. Thanks for bringing me on to the team as well. Can't wait to work with all of you and the many other people there at Deviants. There's in-house artists. There's in-house tech full stack guys. There's in-house game designers. There's all sorts of people that are helping make this project work that weren't on this call today, that weren't able to be on this call today.
We are over 20 people working full time with this. Like you said, we have different departments a full tech and security stack, and there is a little bit of information about each one of them on the light paper. We'll be uploading that shortly. Just want to thank all the team for all their support. They are the ones that are making this possible. We are a solid team. Been working together for many years. We onboarded all the talent from our previous experiences, and we're already more than 20 working full time on this. And now that you're joining, it's even better.
I look forward to working with all of them. If you're watching and you're interested in Deviants, again, links in the description. That's for the light paper, which has all the details that we are showing, but also a lot more. That's for their Twitter. That's for their Medium. That's for recent videos. That's for links to nowhere, where you can get packs now, or you can participate in the mint coming up on December 1st. And so remember, mint December 1st, and we'll look forward to seeing how the Deviants project moves forward. I'll continue to see you guys here at Terabytes, but also work along with Deviants there to try to bring you the best play-to-earn game that we have seen and that we will see for a long time in Terra and in the blockchain ecosystem in general. So I'm excited to talk to you guys again soon, and thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you.
As always, guys, subscribe, like, rate, and review, because you're taking control of the YouTube algorithm by doing that. The corporate algorithms that show people what videos, you know, if you hit like, you hit subscribe, you leave comments, you share with your friends, those algos will take this video and put them in the face of fintech, crypto, finance, gaming enthusiasts around the world so that they can learn about Deviants and learn about Terra by discovering Terabytes. We'll see you again next time.